You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn on the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode, Brad Spielberger in his weekly spot. In Jetsland, there is never a shortage of content. As we went to record yesterday, Zach Wilson was reluctant to play football. Now Aaron Rodgers is currently speaking in studio at Seaport and, investigating the rat in the building and then trying to weed out the snakes in the grass. And Tim Boyle, the legendary Tim Boyle, was cut. And the Jets finally signed Brett Rypien after trying to sign him multiple times this year. Hopefully he starts because he's at least entertaining to watch play football. He might throw five picks, but who gives a shit? Because he'll at least throw probably 500 yards worth of funny Garrett Wilson stat padding throws. Brad, how we doing? I know the Bears are usually content, but the Jets are they're undefeated this game.
Bears have been quiet, just kind of chugging along and not creating all these headlines. Yeah, it's certainly been fun to follow the Jets. And to the Rypien point, just get right into the football aspect. Like, it's akin to, I got asked this morning, Kenny Pickett isn't turning the ball over, so is it a big loss going from head to Mitchell Trubisky? No, I don't care if you're not turning the ball over, if you're also not crossing midfield and scoring any points whatsoever. Like, I get it. You want to play complimentary football. You want to lean on a good defense, yada, yada, yada. The Jets defense just held, Desmond Ridder to like 40% completion rate, held the run game to 3 yards a carry, and still lost with a safety and a bunch of other good plays. Like, you have to move the ball. And yeah, Brett Rypien's fun. Like, I'm excited to see it.
Yeah, I mean, he might be terrible, but he's a fun terrible. The Tim Boyle terrible is like the worst kind of watch because they're bad and they don't take any risks. So it's like you're just like assuming a check down's coming no matter what. Obviously, I talked a little bit about the Falcons game. We'll get into the Zach stuff. I want to talk a little big picture on what could happen here. The season could go one of two ways, and the way it's trending, it's going to go away. We're going to talk about any takeaways from that Falcons game. I basically, to recap you on what I said yesterday, the only takeaways you really have are Garrett Wilson's open all the time, and he's really good. The defense is awesome. Special teams is really good, especially when Justin Hardy's in there, and the offense has one or two pieces that give you hope, and then they can't get out of their own way, and Tim Boyle and Trevor Siemian both stuck. Like, that's what you got. And Zach Wilson's marginally better than the worst quarterback in NFL history.
Yeah, no, I think it was good to see Xavier Gibson produce downfield, right? Not just a bunch of jet sweeps or, at the line of scrimmage stuff, but actually, five catches, only 25 yards after the catch, I want to say, out of 75 total, whatever it was. He forced three missed tackles per us, had the 36-yarder, the big chunk gain. So that was very, very good to see. Like, he's never going to be a number two, number three receiver, but like adding pieces like that when you're getting nothing from Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, etc., it goes a long way. And it's good to have, some unearthed, undrafted free agent talent. And then for the defense, because it's going to be a continued conversation about Quinnen Williams not having sack production, he's probably the best run defender in the NFL this season. And I think you saw that again.
And the Jets get run on more than any team in the NFL. So that's a huge compliment.
Yeah, no, 100%. And like, I don't even know what his run D grade is, but I know he's top five for us in defensive stops against the run stop win rate, all these various things. And you just watch the film, though. Like, he's in the backfield on pretty much every single play, whether it's a pass or a run. But I mean, even the plays he's not making, the tackles he's not making, the play is probably flowing away from him, or a guy cuts back and goes a different direction because he's already like in line with the offensive lineman a half a second after the snap. So, like, I thought he was exceptional in this game, the best player on the defense for sure. And like I said, I thought kind of the entire unit played pretty well, the entire time.
Yeah, it was interesting. Like, the guys who came back from injury, I thought, generally speaking, all made a pretty big impact. Like, Justin Hardy makes a huge impact when he's on special teams. Like, he is legitimately the best gunner in the NFL, and he's all pro last year for a reason. And like, he comes back in and forces safety because he gets down there. If he forced to hold, like, the punt coverage is way better. Michael Carter comes back. Guess what? He's one of the four or five best slot corners in the NFL and had a really nice game. Shocker. Ashton Davis was injured, but again, another second contract guy who, I'm not saying he's going to get this big, massive deal. He's probably a guy you give a year or two extension to, but like, he's a really good third safety and really good on special teams. Like, that's a valuable asset in the NFL. And then I'm blanking on somebody else that came back from injury that you just literally mentioned. Wow, this is crazy. I'll think of it in a second here. Nah, it's useless. It's not going to happen.
I'll just jump in and say, was Ashton Davis the one who had the, I don't know if it was goal line, but a third down?
Yeah, he forced a safety too. And then like,
that was him too.
He was
throwing the body
around. Four or five turnovers. I think he's, you know, caused or forced this year. Like I said, yesterday was just one, or 2 days ago, it's one of those games where like, I actually thought, generally speaking, on first and third down, at least specifically, Nate Hackett was not that bad. There was a lot of guys open. If you go back and watch second and 10 and run every play is brutal. Big personnel and under center. Like, that's a very fair criticism. I actually think that's part of the biggest problem with Hackett is it's very predictable personnel, very predictable, you know, down and distance when he does stuff. That said, got a little more creative. They did some stuff. Boyle just refused to like throw any of it. And then Simeon looked like a guy who hadn't played football and, you know, he played one game in the last 2 years, and it's exactly what happens. Fresh off the bench, it's unfortunate. Right, let's get into, like, what's going on, just because I think, unfortunately, that's the bigger conversation. The Jets are now 4-8. They'd obviously have to win out to make the playoffs. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, obviously. Maybe Brett Rypien gives them a Mike White-like spark. But yesterday, obviously, the report comes out from Diana Rossini, comes out from Zach Rosenblatt of The Athletic. Zach Wilson basically is reluctant to take back the starting job out of fear of potentially getting injured. He feels like he's scapegoated. What do you make of this whole thing? Because I don't know. I have a lot of thoughts, but I'm curious what you thought. Think of it.
It's super, super bizarre for a number of reasons. So first I'll say this, like, look, I guess you never want to say like, oh, a player shouldn't be concerned, they might get hurt. Like, yeah, I get it. It's a human being. It's a guy thinking about the long-term NFL career. But first, like, you can protect yourself better than anything else. Like, I thought Mekhi Becton actually looked pretty good in this game too. So you get some tackles.
That was the other one I couldn't think of. There you go.
Yeah. I thought he was pretty good. I know his pass block grade is very high. I don't know how he was as a run blocker, but I was looking at his pass sets. True pass sets, everything. I thought it was good. So, like, I get it, but it's like, this isn't like, you know, David Carr playing for the Houston Texans back in 2005. Like, this is, it's a legitimate NFL offense. Sure, it's you know, maybe bottom half now, but like, kind of a silly thing from that perspective. And then second, you are on a fully guaranteed contract that still has a fully guaranteed year remaining on it. Like, you're not a pending free agent. Like, I get that you might get cut or whatever, but any money anyone's going to pay you is not going to be more than what you're owed next year. So you're just making, you know, offset money from the Jets, you know, next season anyway. So it's like, I just don't even understand in any way, shape or form, like what I get also maybe saying, A, I don't want to get hurt. B, I don't want to put necessarily bad film, you know, on tape for people to see. Newsflash, brother, it can't be any bad than the tape you've already put out there. You have been unplayable, and anything you do could be seen as an improvement, frankly, because you're starting from the absolute basement. So bizarre thing to say. And like, yeah, it's the beginning of the end. Like, he can't be a Jet next year. There's no fixings coming back from this. It's a waste of everyone's time. He frankly should not have been there this year. I get why it happened. We've talked about it too often, frankly. But yeah, that was it. This is the inflection point, and you'll have a different setup in the quarterback room starting next year.
Yeah, I have a couple of things. I thought about this. I did some of my own digging on things and just wanted to kind of learn a little bit more. It's unacceptable from Zach. I'm sorry. Like, people can defend him. I've never seen a player in New York sports history be defended more avidly from parts of the fan base than Zach Wilson. He's treated like 2000 Derek Jeter on Twitter. It's either you don't like him because you're a Mets fan, or you think he's God's gift to earth and everyone else is at fault. I've had enough. Like, he's one of the most unproductive NFL quarterbacks we've ever seen. And I'm sure Zach's a good kid, and I'm sure it's not all his fault. There's been a lot of other problems, but you know, Mike LaFleur, who he and other folks didn't like, Not Robert Saleh, who wanted to keep him around, not Mike White, who produced with him. You know, Michael Fuller had Josh Johnson, Robert, you know, Mike White and Joe Flacco throwing for 300 plus yards, three touchdowns, et cetera. He got scapegoated last year because, you know, he was mean to Zach, as Connor Hughes reported a couple weeks ago. He's already extended in LA, you know, and I know he's not the play caller, and I'm going to get jumped for saying he's a pretty damn talented coach. Kyle Shanahan thought he was pretty good. He, without any play calling experience, got hired as an NFL coordinator with the number two overall pick and like produced with everyone but Zach. So there's that. I just, it's frustrating because a lot of the things going into the draft that if you want the off the field stuff with Zach was he's entitled, et cetera, et cetera. That's as entitled a statement as you'll see from a player in the NFL is I'm reluctant to take the starting job. Yes, has the Jets been offensive lineman perfect? No, obviously it's not. But are you better? Are you a better person than Tim Boyle or Trevor Siemian or any of the people? Like, so like you're scared to get hurt. That's just, it wouldn't fly. And yes, Zach has probably been scapegoated for some of the issues, but at the same time, what else could the Jets still do other than fire Hackett on offense? They've done everything, right? Like they aired out the fact that Lazard's only on a 2-year deal, not a 4-year deal, and benched him. They've made Randall Cobb inactive. They cut Michael Carter. They just cut Tim Boyle. They've moved everyone on the offensive line. Like they benched CJ Uzama. I'm just confused. Like, is he the only one that's like not like every? I see. Oh, he's been treated like shit here. Like, I don't know, man. Like, are we watching a different like sport and team? He's an NFL quarterback making $10+ million a year, fully guaranteed. Like, this isn't a sob story.
It's bizarre too, frankly, from an unbiased perspective, but I live in New York, like you throw on the fan, starting, let's say just in 2021 to now, I think Daniel Jones has caught more flack than Zach Wilson by order far. Of magnitudes. Yeah. Like I'm not even sure it's close. And you know, also like, again, but going back to scapegoated, Saleh's defending him every single week in the press conference since 2021, Zach Wilson is literally our least accurate quarterback per charting, not a grade, literally just every single throw. And yeah, there's some nuance to that too, but on throws 10 plus yards downfield is the least accurate quarterback in the entire National Football League with guys like backups and journeymen and people that are no longer in the NFL ahead of him on that list. If you know, limited, like I think it was like 100 dropbacks I looked at, you know, throws 10 plus yards downfield. He's 33rd out of 33 qualifying quarterbacks in the sample. Like he's bad. Like it's not. And Saleh week in and week out has been like, actually, I thought he played pretty well. There's other things to clean up. And like, again, yeah, like there probably were certain situations where things were not his fault. There probably were certain situations where, the play calling was poor, the protection was poor, but just to draw the comparison too. And this isn't because I do love Justin Fields, but like I also am sitting here waiting for them to draft a new quarterback. But nevertheless, Justin Fields, in my opinion, has had a worse situation the last 3 years. He's gotten hurt sometimes running, but also in the pocket. I think he's had a worse offensive line. I think before DJ Moore, unquestionably had worse pass catchers, even with DJ Moore. You probably could argue him and Garrett Wilson cancel out and the rest is, I don't know, a wash. And like you've never heard of, it's the exact opposite. This guy would literally tear both ACLs tomorrow and try to play the next week. Like that's that. And I'm not saying every guy's like that, and I understand that. But you know, same draft class, same, you know, similar situations. Like you wouldn't even I don't know. It's hard to even characterize. Like, because again, like I do think they're going to move on, but he is the culture in that locker room. Like he and look, he's gotten, Chicago media is not nice to him either, and it's just like, he keeps his head down. He works hard. He takes blame for everything, even when it's often not his fault. It's just, yeah, I mean, it goes back to a larger conversation of, hey, when we're talking about the next draft, you know, drafted quarterback in New York, can they handle New York media? Can they handle scrutiny? It needs to be a part of the conversation because the answer to that for Zach was no. And we probably should have known that, frankly, before, you know, going into this whole thing.
All right. Like, again, I understand the Jets tried to move on. They got Rodgers, et cetera, but like everyone knew this was a compounded issue that started in March. They didn't move on and get a veteran backup. It compounded again when Rodgers goes down in the first four plays of the season, as we've heard a million times. They did nothing, and they signed Trevor Siemian 3 weeks later, and he finally was an active player like last week. You know, it took a Northwestern grad who's been in multiple offensive schemes 12 weeks to learn a system that have it hard to believe. It just, the whole thing is frustrating. And again, it's not out to bash Zach, like, but at the same time, like, I don't know, I played football my whole life. I would literally go out there right now and play for free in the NFL if someone offered me to, and I'd take the consequences. Again, I'm never going to, I'm way too slow and not good enough, but I'm just saying, like, that's how much like the game would mean to me, who's just literally podcasting and writing and talking about the game, let alone there's hundreds of quarterbacks that would literally die for the opportunity to play in the NFL. And they say, yo, I'm good on like a starting job in the NFL. Like who the fuck are you to say that? I'm sorry. And like, he didn't, the reports are true. So I know people are, oh, Rossini's making it up, Zach's making it up. They're not made up. It's, you can ask anybody in that building. It's not made up. And it wasn't just said to players. So, you know, at the end of the day, like, how would you handle this the rest of the year? Because it feels like Zach's going to start on Sunday, and we're going to try to put, you know, water under the bridge. They had Rodgers call him and, you know, try to publicly support him on McAfee and all that different stuff. I just feel like it's, what are we doing here? Like, they signing Brett Rypien today. They cut Boyle. It's like, I don't know. It's just, it'll get to our larger conversation here in a second, but what do you like? The Texans are a good team, but in reality, like the Jets should be a good team enough too to beat teams at home, but like not with the quarterback play, obviously. And some of the other, there's other issues. It's not just quarterback, but it's a pretty big issue to have that, the worst quarterback room probably in NFL history behind Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting too, because I actually like the defense's matchup. I get how good the Texans are on offense, but they built that plane out of explosives, and the Jets limit explosives as well as any defense in the NFL. So like we could sit here and kind of dissect how they could slow them down, but I mean, we're talking about a team that, what, averaged 3 yards a carry against the Falcons defense without Grady Jarrett. Like, that team, before he went down, they were a great run defense. Since he's gone down, they're not a good run defense. You have Bud Dupree getting home from multiple sacks and forcing a fumble. That guy has had a pressure rate below 10% for, like, 5 years. In a, like, that's probably hyperbolic. But anyway, like, you're losing to guys that haven't beat anybody else this season. And just, like, that can't really happen. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what you do. At this point, it's all a wash. Yeah, we hate this conversation. You want to get the highest first-round draft pick as possible. You have your own first now because Rodgers is not going to play the 65% of snaps, whatever that number was. That's your solace. And you just hope you get a top-five pick, drop in a Malik Nabers with Garrett Wilson, and just forget 2023 ever happened. But, you know, I understand that Jets fans are tired of hearing that. You know, again, as a Bears fan, we hear that every year, and we'd like to actually care about the NFL product at some point.
Yeah, like there's obviously a world in which the Jets win their 6 or 7 games here. I don't know. They figured out they beat Washington. Maybe they beat Houston. They beat New England last week of the year or something, whatever it is. Let's just say for argument's sake, they do lose out. I still believe Saleh and Douglas will be here. I just don't really know that there's a world in which they're not. I think for a couple of reasons, I'm curious your thoughts on it. One, we talked about this a little bit, I believe, last week. With the number of hirings and firings there's going to be, the Jets' job at best is middle of the pack, because they have a decent amount of cap space. They do have a really good young core. You'd have Rodgers for a year or two, so like you're hoping they can, you know, he can win a variable floor-ish. Like I win a ton of games my first couple of years, and I bought myself equity for 2 or 3 more. Obviously he's done a really good job this year towards the last 6 weeks, but I'm just saying in general, maybe that's kind of what you do there. So maybe they're a middle of the pack job, let's just say. Also, you could argue they're a bottom of the pack job because you have pretty much no control over quarterback or the roster for the next year or two and all that stuff. My argument would be the time to blow it up would be after this year, like after next year, where if it goes poorly, everyone's gone, Rodgers is gone, the whole thing's blown up, and you basically are building your young core around whoever they draft this year, whatever young players, and it's Sauce, DJ Reed, Michael Carter, Quinnen, you know, Quincy Williams, CJ Mosley's probably towards the end at that point. You know, JFM, Jermaine, and then like offensively, it's Breece Garrett and whoever else you add, and that's your core. I would say that's the argument to not fire them, and that's why I think they will be here, is because like everyone's going to get a mulligan, the AVT injury, Rodgers, so on and so forth. My only thing that's concerning is, let's just say they do lose out, or they, you know, win one more game and they beat the Patriots and they pick third. Like, they should just take Marvin Harrison, run the car to the podium, and run out Breece Hall, Marvin Harrison, and Garrett Wilson for the next 10 years and beat you. You're the Bengals, but a kind of honestly might be a, I don't know, maybe Marvin Harrison is going to be Jamar Chase, but Garrett Wilson's better than T. Higgins, or going to be better than T. Higgins, or at least comparable. And Breece Hall's probably better than Joe Mixon. Whatever. It's probably the same kind of similar concept. My point is, like, that's one, or you trade back and you say, we're going to still get a Malik Nabers and have 2 extra first round picks to they'll go get the quarterback next year in the draft. I just, like, do you trust this regime that has gotten, you know, Joe Douglas has had, he had Darnold. They did nothing. He added no talent to the roster, got rid of him. Had Zach, he's had Rodgers. Like, you're getting a fourth quarterback with like under 35, you know, 35 games under 500. It's like,
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com. You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
I don't know, man. Like, they've done a really good job at drafting defensive talent offensively. It's Breece Garrett, and I don't, like, who else has, like, really flashed? Like, I guess Becton. Like, kind of record, kind of, I don't know. Like, we're picking at straws here.
Yeah, I mean, Becton, the talent is there, but I also feel like, and there's probably too much of this narrative, but like, yeah, it's a top 15 pick tackle. Like, I would hope he's pretty good. And we talk about neighbors. Obviously, they could go for Shanu, they could go Joe Alt and address that issue. And to that point, what I think is interesting, like, you come from, when you're Douglas, you know, organizations that are so predicated on the trenches. You let a Morgan Moses walk. He's been excellent in Baltimore pretty much since the day he got there. And now your tackle situation has been a disaster since then. You make a huge expenditure on Lakin Tomlinson. You could argue he's been fine. He's not been worth the contract
But everyone thought they were going to sign Sheriff, and Sheriff's been really good for 2 years in Jacksonville and somehow stayed healthy. Classic.
Right. Yeah. He couldn't stay healthy at all. But yeah, so it's like, it's just interesting, right? I mean, because that has been the biggest miss. Quarterback, obviously, the other one. But the offensive line just really has been a miss. Not of the Giants' magnitude or anything like that. But, yeah, I think you're right, though. Anyway, long answer short, you just let the timelines line up. Rodgers and Sala and Douglas get 2024. If that doesn't go well, everything starts over. You build around the foundational pieces you just mentioned. If it does go great, yeah, maybe they do get a chance to say, hey, you know what? You did identify a ton of talent. Quarterback was tough, but it's tough for everybody. We think you are more, stable and reliable than the Idziks and McCagnons and et ceteras of the world. So we're going to give you one more shot and see if you can finally make it work. Especially because in theory, you then have a Garrett Wilson and either a blue chip tackle or another number one caliber receiver to let that guy step into. Whereas, Zach's first year, obviously, he wasn't stepping into much. But, yeah, I don't think there's any point in doing it this year because, A, you then have this, like, misalignment of, the coaching staff in the front office and Rodgers and all that. So there's kind of just, like, awkwardness there. How attractive is that job going to be? Not very. Like, it's a good team, and you get a year of Rodgers. I understand that. But these coaches are thinking, like, NGMs. They're thinking, like, where can I go and last a very long time? I suppose, now that I think about it, like, you'd say, I get the Rodgers runway and I get a draft pick. So I do kind of get some runway there.
Yeah, but what if it goes bad next year and Rodgers gets hurt again? Right. You don't have a good backup and you go 5-12. Like, then you're
right.
Now you're totally screwed. You have no excuse.
No, you're right. You're 100% right. Right. Whereas, like, I get that these jobs aren't super, but like Washington with all the money and draft picks, like Chicago maybe with all the money and draft pick, like, whatever. Like, those jobs are going to be very attractive. So anyway, yeah. Long answer short, you run this whole thing back next year, sans Zach Wilson, you add some talent on offense, and just hope everything swings much more in your direction.
Yeah, I'll do like a hypothetical here. What's more realistic? What's a more objectively, I guess, like, smart way to approach this? There's like a glass half full side of things that would be, you finish with a top five pick, top five, top six pick. You end up with a premium tackle, Marvin Harrison or Brock Bowers, or a trade back in which you still get a Malik Nabers or, you know, another top flight receiver, top flight, you know, offensive lineman, et cetera. So you end up with a really, you know, premium pick in 24. Rodgers is healthy. You address, you take a, you know, a day three or day two quarterback. You put him as a third stringer and all that stuff. You add one or two guys in free agency. You basically redo the offense with Rodgers. It's 50% better, which you're at least the top half of the NFL offense. And you bring pretty much most people back on defense. You probably tag Huff or, you know, you restructure Q and all these different guys. And you basically just, you know, that's the one question I'm going to get to in a second with you. But so that's a glass half full. Like the Bills are only going more down and, you know, the Dolphins are what they are, but the Dolphins have a million free agents and they're going to have to pay Tua and all this different stuff. And then the Patriots still stink. So like, that's a glass half full. The Chiefs are obviously, you know, kind of in a little bit of flux that they're kind of turning over as a team. The AFC, it's like really tough, but also we've seen everyone's kind of like good, but thin, you know, a lot in the teams in the AFC, and like the Jets should be right up there. Right. Like that's the glass half full, or you get Devontae and, you know, a tackle, whatever, it doesn't matter. But like, there's a very clear path. Like this thing works really well in 24. There's also Rodgers is fine and good, but like they win nine games. They're a seven seed. They miss on a draft pick where they don't get one of the top guys because they win too many games here and they end up with like a solid, you know, a solid guy nine or something. They let Huff walk. They like, you know, or, and they don't add Devontae. And instead they add Michael Pittman, but they overpay him and they pay him $24 million a year. And like, as much as I love Mike Pitt, like he doesn't work it, whatever. That's like the glass half empty is like, this coaching staff might not be good, et cetera. Like, what's more realistic? I know it's probably hard to say that, but like, I feel like the glass half full is not unrealistic at all. But I also feel like it's kind of just being it is optimistic to like think all these things will go well.
It is. Yeah. Your USC guy, Mike Pitt.
I love Mike Pitt. I wanted Pitt. The Jets should have drafted him and said they, instead of trading up for him, they traded back and got Denzel Mims. Great job.
There you go. Yeah. Trade down twice. I remember that. Remember that draft. Yeah, I mean,
Gotta read the board.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're not gonna get a Jabari Zuniga unless you wheel and deal, my friend. You know, that's just how these things work. So let's not reopen old wounds.
James Morgan, the GOAT.
Yeah. Is he suddenly? Is St. Louis Battlehawks?
He's on the Hackenberg track of just never playing an NFL game ever.
Yeah, sounds about right. Anyway. No, it's a fair point. At the same time, like you look at the AFC, obviously Rodgers is part of this, but like the attrition at quarterback, including last night with Trevor Lawrence, is insane. Like, and you know, what looked like an absolute gauntlet and an incredibly tough conference where the playoffs were going to be seven juggernauts battling it out. I'm now sitting here being like, so Miami and like Baltimore maybe threaten KC and like, that's it. Like, you know, the Jags defense is pathetic. I try to talk myself into them all year long and they're dead to me. But anyway,
tried telling everybody.
Yeah, they're dead to me. I see what you're saying, but I do think at the same time, and sure, this is optimistic, but, and maybe you need to change the turf at MetLife to grass or something, but like all the things that happen in the negative, like these are regression things. These are things that can swing the opposite direction. You know, just example off the top of my head, like 2018 San Francisco 49ers versus 2019 San Francisco 49ers was the exact same scenario with Bob Saleh in the building. You have all these injuries. You pick way higher than your talent probably should have you pick. And, oh, you land Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel, and off to the races you go. So, like, there are definitely outcomes where, you know, our arguments to why, you know what, this actually either we contend with Rodgers or this is maybe, you know, if he got hurt in week 10 versus four snaps into the season, like maybe that's worse. Maybe you still send your first round pick to the Packers if he plays enough games, yada, yada. Let's get some positive variance. He's ahead of schedule health wise. And just hope 2024 is the polar opposite.
Yeah. Like again, who knows what will happen, but like the fact that there's a world in which like they could theoretically have Rodgers, Breece, Garrett, and Marvin Harrison Jr. is kind of insane. By the way, if they pick two, this is controversial, I guess, because I think everyone say take the quarterback, and I'm probably gonna like change my tune on this. But if, as of today, if they lost out and they pick two, and if you don't take like 100,000 picks under the sun for that pick, giving yourself an opportunity. I guess I could be an idiot and they should just take May or Caleb, but like, man, like you could be stacked as a franchise for like a long time. And I just feel like in that, but like Joe Douglas never trades down. So I don't know. I don't even know how we're talking about it. He'd probably draft a, defensive end. That's like 23 or 24, you know, at two, but like in reality, like if you're there at three, generally speaking, and I know we'll talk more about this as time goes on, like you're drafting Marvin Harrison and I won't hear a single thing about it. And no world in which am I taking a tackle over Marvin Harrison. I'm sorry. I'm not like he might be a top
more chase last night. Like it's a more nuanced conversation that I totally understand that. But if you want to elevate a young quarterback, it's not an argument. It really isn't.
You're telling me that like he's not him and Garrett Wilson would each have 100 catchers next year with Rodgers. Like, dude, it'd be disgusting. Obviously, we'll talk more about a lot of that stuff as we go on. I'm sure Zach's going to start. I'm sure I'll get announced at some point today. Appreciate you taking some time as always. You know, stay positive, everybody. Again, not trying to rip Zach, but at the same time, saying I'm good or reluctant to play, it just doesn't sit right. You know, with me, and I know Brad's the same way. Just again, I get it. There's circumstances, there's excuses, there's reasons why he could feel the way he feels, but got to either find better friends, or find better people to tell these things to, or just maybe keep it to yourself. Just because small world, stuff gets out, and when you're producing the way you are, saying you're good on and going back in the games, it's tough. It's a tough look.
Tough luck, baby. Yeah, stay positive. Stay positive. This thing can swing next year. And also, I mentioned this before. I know we're wrapping up, but I don't like the Bills and Dolphins situations in this upcoming offseason. Yeah, they can spend a bunch of money.
That's what I wanted to ask you quickly. Yeah. Like, how much cap space can the Jets, like, or are they likely going to have? I mean, I know, you know, the Huff situation is going to be, you know, a big deal, but it seems like if you kind of mess around on over the cap, like, there's a lot of restructuring that could be done. And like the only real like big money is like Tomlinson and CJ Mosley, who you could both theoretically restructure if you wanted to.
Looking at like 35 already right now, if you include carryover from this season. And then like you mentioned, there are a bunch of different ways to clear room. Yeah, Tomlinson, you know, could clear you $8 million. Again, obviously you can also do the post June 1, all those various mechanisms, but because the Rodgers restructure, cap is not an issue. And if they say it is, they're lying. I mean, cash can be. Like this year, I actually understood when they kind of came out and were like, we're spending a ton of cash. They were. The salary cap is not a constraint on this team in 2024. If they want to load up, like you said, make a Devontae Adams move, et cetera, they can do that, barring the cash budget and all those things. But yeah, it's not that big of a constraint. And like I said, like, these teams can navigate this, but the pending free agent list in Miami is insane. And even the guys that just need in-house extensions is also a long list. And then the Bills, you know, you and I probably talked about it. This season isn't surprising to me in any way, shape or form how it's gone for Buffalo. We both said it before the year started. So,
yep. No, I'm on the same page as you. I'll be back later this week. We'll do a DJ. We'll come on. We'll talk some Texans Jets. We'll talk some fun stuff. Appreciate you hopping on as always, and we'll talk to everybody later this week.